That bless you guys to hear a few of those songs. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. You know, Jesus paid the perfect price for our complete 100% deliverance, and he rescued us out of the chains of slavery, the bondage to fear. You know, in Hebrews chapter 2, there's a great section. One of the things, like many, many years ago, was probably one of the most powerful things that really changed my heart and life, because I, for some reason, had just a great sense of fear of death. And maybe it was because of the kind of life I was living at that point, but also just, I think, religious teaching and the fearfulness of, you know, people would hand out tracts and, like, brother, if you don't repent, then you're going to go to live in hellfire and brimstone, be tortured the rest of your life by an angry God who's just not real happy with the way you're living. And I guess I bought into that, and maybe some of you did that as well. But there's a great verse and a section of the word in Hebrews chapter 2 that I thought maybe we could just briefly look over here for a few moments. Hebrews chapter 2, and in verse 9 it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for who? Every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings," or through the things that he endured. You know, the words of God are just beautiful too, aren't they? That statement, that bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through the things that he endured. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We're all a part of the family. And Jesus is not afraid to call us brothers and sisters of his. What a wonderful reality spiritually that, honestly, you and I had nothing to do with. God so loved the world that he gave, and he gave the Lord Jesus Christ before we were even born. We weren't even a twinkle in our daddy's eye, they say. But God knew, and in his loving kindness and goodness, he prepared this plan and this path. And then when we got to that place where we were able to make that choice and make that decision, everything came together at that moment. Verse 12 of Hebrews 2, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me." Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And really, what did he defeat through his ministry and his work and his resurrection? I mean, in his case, he did defeat the power of death because he was raised from the dead. We still, because of the nature of what we have within us, physical death is still a reality in our current world. But he also defeated spiritual death, because he brought into existence now the availability of mankind to be born again, to receive the Spirit of God, and to once again be made whole. I just love this verse, Hebrews 2:14. This delivered my life so big many, many, many years ago, and I still go to it, and I still reflect on it. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is whom? The devil. He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. How did the devil get the power of death? Adam.
Yep.
Way back when? See? Sin nature that's been passed down through generation, generation to generation, and finally, here was Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, who paid the perfect price for our redemption, the availability for us to become back into the family, where he could call us brethren. He's blessed to do it. In verse 15, here it is, and deliver them, that would be us, and all of mankind, who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's one of the greatest fears known to mankind, is the fear of death. It says that right here. And he came to deliver them who were through the fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor or to strengthen or to encourage and comfort and build up them that are tempted. Wow, there's a lot of information right there in that little section of the scripture, that Jesus came into this world and paid that sacrificial price. Honestly, it was the will of God, but he had to make the choice to do it, and he made the right choice. You know, Jesus always made the right choice. Thank God. But we don't have to be Jesus anymore, because he lived and did what he needed to do so that we can now benefit and enter into the throne room of God, because he is that bridge that spans the chasm, right, between God and man. Jesus is the bridge. He's the mediator between God and man. He's the one who completed the work so that now we have full and complete access into the Holy of Holies. And like this says, he himself suffered, being tempted. He is now able to strengthen you. He is now able to strengthen me during those times where I am tempted. I am put into these, well, I am, find myself in these situations. But I can identify with a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, fully man, who went through these things and endured those things on our behalf, and now strengthens us with that Spirit, that Comforter, that has come and now is within us, that is nothing but a testimony and a witness to the goodness of God. Just like that song said, he has always been faithful. He always will be faithful. There's no question about that. We see the footprint of God's love, his heart, from the beginning of time up to this moment where we draw breath. I wanted to close reading something very short, written 110 years ago by a gentleman most of us have never heard of. It's called The Finished Work of Christ. Well, one thing is sure, and all would do well to recognize it, time can never change nor interfere with the plan of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is exactly the same today that it was in the beginning. A man is saved today on exactly the same terms he was in the day of the apostles. Men change, customs change, churches change a lot, very greatly, both as to their faith and practice. But the gospel of Christ and God's plan of salvation remain exactly as they were when? In the beginning. 110 years ago, that was written, the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to say it, and you're here to say it, wherever you are, wherever you live, whatever time it is, doesn't matter. this Word of God is as living and real today as it was during the time of Paul and the apostles, which we've been spending a lot of time reading about in the book of Acts, as it was the day that God breathed this Word into existence. It is the same God, same Word, living and real. And when that Word is taken and made one's own, the only thing it can produce are things like prosperity, goodness, kindness, and the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of our good works or our good behavior or how many hours you spent reading the Word. I mean, those are all wonderful things. But the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. And that came as a free gift by the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? We've been completely delivered, guys. Completely delivered. We're free. Free. But free now to offer ourselves, like it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we can offer ourselves as living sacrifices to then walk and continue in the plan that God has for mankind. And there's only one way that people can many times find out about it, and that they have to have somebody to preach and teach the Word. You know, that's a great verse. Maybe I'll look at it real close, especially in light of that song, Something Beautiful, because in Romans chapter 10, it's so cool, man, because it says, verse 13, Romans 10, 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they then call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they then believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, Romans chapter 10, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful. Something beautiful has happened. It's Jesus Christ, his finished work, the great display of God's love at Calvary, and now our willingness to make that choice to accept Jesus and all that he's accomplished, and then to walk in the fullness of what that enables us and fulfills us to do day by day by day. And you know what? Literally, if nothing else, it gives us the ability to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to praise him, to just tell him how blessed we are that he's God and we're not, that he's got a lot more wisdom and how much we need him and how much we're thankful for the love he has for us. And on and on and on and on the list goes. You can make up your own list, but we got a lot to be thankful for. And I'm certainly blessed to be able to share these simple truths of the Word and to be brethren together with you all. I'm thankful for your lives, and Vicki and I, you know, continue to pray for you all and send our love, and, you know, mutually, I think together we've got something that really is beautiful, and it's something that God designed to be and kept it a secret for a long time, called the body of Christ. Body of Christ. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for so many things in our hearts, Father, and for this wonderful Word that you've given to us to remind us and to help us and to teach us and guide us, Father, into that throne room, and then that each and every one of us get to have those but God moments. We get to have those light bulbs going off. We get to figure out what this path looks like, this journey, and Lord, we know it's full of your love and grace, so guide and help and strengthen each and every one of us so that we can be just living testimonies of how good, how kind, and how loving you are and loving you have been. And we pray these things in the powerful, wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.